and we're just crossing over the Continental Divide at the present time. Kenny is driving. We left Provo this morning at approximately 1:15. We've had a quite pleasant trip outside of one flat tire, and we had to buy a new tire in Monticello. It's been cool. It's tried to rain nearly the entire day since it's about, I'd say 8 o'clock. Since 8 o'clock, it's been sprinkling off and off on us. It's now about 12 o'clock. And I thought that I would record a few happenings. Kenny has asked continuously about if we're going to pass Mount Haystack, and we will pass comparatively close to Haystack. Raymond and I, many years ago, about 40 years ago, used to herd sheep out in the Haystack area. We also helped fix some wells that broke down. We won't see Haystack too well today because it's kind of hazy and trying to rain, but we can tell you a few things that might have happened there. Now over to the north of Haystack is a sandstone bluff that has got an Indian's face on it that Raymond and I used for a landmark years ago. The face reminds a person of a man with his mouth wide open. He's got kind of a little slim mustache that curves down on each side of his mouth. His eyes are nearly closed because he's got his mouth open so far. We one time coming in from Haystack climbed the east side of it, which isn't very steep. In fact, it kind of slants from the east. And inasmuch as our camp was at the base of the west side of the mesa, or the bluffs, we thought we'd take a shortcut across, come right into our camp. We soon discovered that even though we had climbed up these bluffs many times before, that we couldn't get down them because it's much easier to go up than it is to go down. But after searching around for quite a while, Raymond finally found an old dead tree that was about 25 feet in height, and we were able to push it over, knock the branches off from it. Then we climbed down a crevice in the cliff as far as we could. Then we let the tree slowly down in front of us until it touched, was anchored good. Then I held the top of the tree so it wouldn't fall over while Raymond climbed down. Then he held it while I carefully climbed down. And in this manner, we went from one ledge to another by letting this old dead pine tree down ahead of us and using it for a ladder. We made it all right. The wind out in this country used to blow, or still blows, quite a bit. And if the shelter house or whatever you might have been in, tent, had a stove pipe, a metal stovepipe, it would get charged with static electricity to the extent that it was difficult to touch the stove at all. We used to laugh at Grandma Young because she would be frying eggs or something on the stove, and when she'd reach down to take the frying pan up, it would shock her and she'd let out a little squeal. The lightning strikes quite often out in this neighborhood, too. The fences, there's a fence every mile, and it's fenced off in square miles. And sometimes you walk up to the fence and it would shock the soup out of you, or sometimes the lightning would strike the fence and it'd run along and sparks would fly between one wire and another. Many times, Raymond and I climbed the top of old Mount Haystack, which is quite high, and we would find the carcasses of coyotes tied to trees. The Indians believe that coyotes are chindies, or devils, and that if they are allowed to touch the ground when they're dead, that their spirits will enter the ground and wait for some creature to come along, whether it be an Indian or whether it be another coyote. So if they were able to get a hold of a coyote, they strung him up in a tree so that the spirit couldn't possibly get back down to the ground. Of course, when we climbed the haystack, we were looking for some gold mine or something like that, because there has been several rumors of rich metal being found on the haystack. But about all we ever found was the fertilizer that tastes something somewhat like alum, potash, that it can be used for fertilizer. On top of haystack, you can look over the equator, look right over to Blue Water. It's very clear down in that direction. Or you can look up towards Blue Water Canyon and even almost in the Blue Water Dam. If there was some flagpole or something that was quite tall sticking up Blue Water Dam, I believe you could see it. But you can see the general area where the Blue Water Dam is. Mount Haystack is a very high mountain, and it's shaped exactly like a haystack. It's quite uniform slopes on all sides. It's got a very level top on it. It is now right straight in front of us. Kenny's pointing at it, driving towards it. We can see it through the haze. The Indians have their hogans all around the base of it. It seems as though that the mountain there causes it to rain a bit more than maybe it does in some other places, so the Indians have their hogans there. It was in this area where Welford used to come to work, and he'd bring a bucket full of eggs or other things to eat. And in this one particular instance, he had a bucket full of eggs and nothing else. He didn't even have anything else to cook the eggs in. So for several days, he roasted the eggs in the fire. There, that is, in the hot rocks around the fire. Right now, we're passing Old Stinking Springs. Now, the water here is a sulfur water, and the new highway nearly destroyed the springs, but I can still see a little bit of it remained. The old highway used to be about a half a mile below the springs. The cattle do not care, as a general rule, to drink the water unless they are very thirsty, and then if they get thirsty enough, they will drink it. Because of the mineral and because of the alkali or whatever it might be in it, it causes them to grow quite fat. So that oftentimes the ranchers kept their cattle away from water so that they would drink this water. It caused them to get fat rather rapidly. It may not be a desirable fat, but anyway, they used to use this little trick.
How come it would make them fat? Why would water make them fat?
It has a tendency to loosen their bowels up and cause them to have diarrhea, if you want to call it that. But anyway, it helps them to be healthier, and they just grow fatter quicker than they normally would. But this is the place where Grandpa Titchin trailed the robbers that swiped all the horses from Rama one time. He found them camped there at Stinking Springs, and he attempted to go in and release the horses that they had put in a kraal that was constructed in the cliffs. The robbers found him and staked him down. They didn't want to shoot him because then the white men would know that he had been killed, but by some other white person. They figured if they could stake him down at the entrance to this little kraal back up in the rocks and then chase the horses past him, that the horses would stomp him to death, and then everybody else, anybody that found the body, would consider it an accident. But while the Indians was waiting for daylight, there was an old Indian that had watched the goings-on from the top of the cliff, and he had kind of wondered what it was. He couldn't tell much in the nighttime. He could see men moving around, and that they had staked one of the men down in front of the cow or the pen, which was a common Indian trick. So he snuck down very quietly to see who it was that these men had staked out, Indian fashion. Much to his surprise, he found it was Grandpa Titchin, who was one of his best friends. So he and Grandpa Titchin whispered, and the Indian released Grandpa, and they snuck in the corral and got the horses over on one side of the corral. Then on a given signal, Grandpa Titchin let the bars down while the Indian chased the horses out. As one of the horses passed, Grandpa Titchin jumped on the horse, and they were able to make good their escape. This must have happened back in about 1884 or 85. It wasn't very long after that until Grandpa Titchin moved to Blue Water. Now we're passing Pruitt, where I used to drive tankers and supplies out to the oil wells before I got married. I was considered fairly good at driving a truck out through these sandstone formations in the snow and fighting the snow. I was usually able to deliver the load and return without much damage to any of the equipment. I have spent as long as 1 week making one trip out at about 100 miles out there and getting back during the snowy weather.
Okay, I can't figure out why it would take a whole week to go 100 miles. Did you cut out or did you just fight your way through blizzards, or why would it take that long to go 100 miles?
In drilling oil wells, they start the water circulating and they get it full of mud from out of the earth. And they have to keep this water circulating continuously, and oft times they run quite low on fuel to run the diesel pumps and the motor, or perhaps they might hit a cave or a hole in the ground that absorbs all this water, and they must have mud that will seal the hole up. And so on these trips we considered it emergency runs. They would call in by telephone. We constructed telephone lines from the headquarters to the drilling operation, as we didn't have a very good radio system at that time. And they'd call up and say, we're almost out of fuel, or we've hit a hole in the ground, we need mud. So I would load the necessary things. But if this happened to be winter time, or perhaps when the snow was just melting, in the daytime the mud was so slippery that we couldn't move, and so we'd have to wait until it froze at night, and then we would go on the road. But climbing the mountains, of course, the wheels would spin and spin, and so I had to get out and throw dirt underneath the wheels in order to get up over these hills. And sometimes I was able to make the full 100 miles in one night, but more often than not that it took me two nights. Of course, I was able to drive up until about 10 o'clock the next morning, because the sun didn't melt the snow or the ice until about 10 the next morning. Then I had to stop and wait until it froze maybe 9 or 10 o'clock that night. There was Indian hogans along the way, or perhaps if I couldn't find an Indian hogan that I knew, I would build fires alongside of the road. Even on days it was real bad, winds blowing and everything, I had a little gasoline heater that sometimes I had right in the cab with me. However, it was quite dangerous because it was burning gasoline, and if you tipped the thing over, it would explode. So I only used that in the very roughest weather.
How long did you do this job?
I drove it about 2 years. About 8 months of it was after we had gotten married. And Maureen did not like the idea of being left alone for a couple of 3 days off and on among the Indians. And so sometimes she, if it was good weather, she'd make the trip with me. The old truck that I had bucket seats. The seat on my side had a shock absorber, but the passenger seat did not have a shock absorber. And inasmuch as we were on dirt roads and lots of chuck holes, it was like riding in a bucking horse on the passenger side, because you'd hit the bottom, then you'd fly up and hit the top of the cab, then you'd be down again. It got to be quite an art of learning how to ride. We have just passed the equator, which is, in my day and age, it was a nice-shaped equator. The cone came up very uniform from all sides, and the lava run down from it. But they found that the cinder from this cone was very good in making roads and using it for other purposes, and making cinder blocks and so forth. They just about tore one side of it completely away. But the Malapi runs one bit of it to the east of Blue Water and one part of it to the north of Blue Water. Blue Water is just about in the middle of this little double run of Malapis. Now we've crossed over in Valencia County. We can see the big canyon that we call Prop Canyon. We can even see the three peaks today. However, it's very hazy, the trying terrain between here and there. The Blue Water Canyon is up here. You can hardly make it out. But you can see the big canyon there. And I don't believe it's going to rain hard enough to have a flood down through the streets of Blue Water, which the kids have been hoping that would. But it's nice to see it trying to rain here. The grass alongside, or the weeds, well, the grass and the weeds alongside the road are quite green. I can't see as many stinkweeds and sunflowers as we had here last year. Last year there was thousands of sunflowers and stinkweeds. But this year, oh yeah, there's some. There's some of the little purple bushes that are all in bloom. So it's looks like they've had a fair amount of rain this year.
Why don't you tell us about why we had floods, or why you had floods back then? They came down the streets and so forth.
We have two canyons draining into Blue Water. One we call a Box Canyon, and the other McNeil Canyon. And Box Canyon drains Prop Canyon. That is the Prop Canyon that comes off in the Salitre Mesa up there. And it drains quite an area, and so if we have a very heavy rain up in that area, then there's quite a stream of water comes down through Prop Canyon and then finally entering into Blue Water from Box Canyon. And the natural stream runs right down through the middle of Blue Water on down into the Roya that runs through the center of the valley. McNeil's Canyon does not drain quite as large an area. However, it sometimes has quite a stream of water. It hits the west part of Blue Water and comes down and joins in with the water that comes from Box Canyon. And when I was a kid, sometimes the water got 2 and 3 feet deep out in the middle of the streets. And we had great fun going out, taking a log or a tub or something like that, floating around. However, as a general rule, the folks didn't let us use logs because they were afraid that they might get on top of us and drown us. And when one time it nearly happened that way to Raymond. He was riding on this log and it hit or high-centered and spun about the same time. And as it tipped over, Raymond, being on top of it, got underneath of it. However, it only caught his leg and he was able to stay above water with his head and most of his body until Horace Stevens came over and rolled the log away from him, and then he got away. Wow. Now we've just came off of the freeway. We're passing over the old Roy. It's got a little bit of water, but not very much, because they have made diversion dams all throughout this country. There's very little of these big floods.
Oh, I got a bunch of holes there.
Very few. Kenny just says that the roads are holy, have chuck holes. But anyway, the old-timers became tired of the floods that came down through the valley, so they diverted the water out into from Box Canyon over into where our graveyard is. There was a kind of a lake valley there that I've heard it said that could never be filled up with water because the soil was porous and it would sink out of sight. Maybe through the, maybe it's Malapai underneath, I don't know. McNeil Canyon, they went up in the mountains and built a dam and tried to divert it away, but that dam used to wash out quite often. Even today, once in a while, there's streams of water come down the Box Canyon. There's such a large stream of water that it goes right on over the top of the diversion dam, and the floods will still come down in the valley, in the local town, or town of village of Bluewater. Now, we've just completed a day and a half stay visiting around Bluewater, and we find that they've had an awful lot of rain over a period of 3 months. In fact, they haven't had to irrigate since the middle of June. There's very good gardens. Cheryl hasn't been able to keep the weeds out of it, though. There's weeds almost as big as the garden is. She's got marigolds and other flowers and garlic planted out throughout the garden in order to keep out the bugs. And they're blooming very beautiful. We have big orange and yellow blossoms throughout the garden. They look very beautiful, but odd to be in a garden.
Shoo! At any time. Tape with you on it, and we'll tape with us on it.
I want to get everything on there. Want to get you and Charles and your comments about our visit here in Bluewater. Why not?
I want to hear stories. Is that thing going?
Well, I'm Charles Vaughn. I'm traveling with Mardine, Kenny, and Golden. My first stop was in San Francisco. Yeah, we visited, was it your cousins or what? Your cousin. And I enjoyed the state, their sister in San Francisco, and I enjoyed the state there. And going over to San Francisco, that was a lot of fun. And when we got to Utah, I stayed a couple of days with the Roberts, and I met some of their family. And I stayed with Wayne and Laura Ruth, and also went to the campus, BYU, and Alpine Loop, and tried to go to Tippecanoe Cape, but, you know, it was so many people on that day that it was just crowded. Even though it was crowded, we did go on a hike for about 20 minutes, and we also had a picnic out there. That was nice, but it rained on us. Man, we were skipping, played horseshoes, and they played frisbee. Up the Snake Canyon, we didn't go all the way up. And we also went to Bluewater. And we can see, was it your uncle Marty? Was it? Or, your cousins? Uh-huh. And he lives pretty far out, yes. Up on top of Plateau. And we stayed there for quite a while. And we also ate dinner up to his house.
Yeah, the kids put on skits.
Yeah, and we had skits. And we sing.
Now they played tricks on you.
Yeah, we had played tricks. That was funny. Enjoy the country because it's very pretty. And I wish I'd come back here next year and stay a couple weeks.
When you let me drive.
No, I can't.
What?
Ain't it going, though?
Was.
Here, hold this.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Bluewater. We've been discussing here whether Papa and Ma should consider moving back here or move to Provo or move to Salt Lake or maybe California. When the pluses for Bluewater are that it's cheaper to live there as far as the taxes, and you can have a home moved in for $17,000. It's got 3 bedrooms and all carpeted, and you've got a great soil that you can grow all kinds of vegetables and fruit in. In fact, Cheryl was telling me that people in Grants like to get their produce from Bluewater because for some reason it just tastes better there when it's grown in Bluewater, better than if it were grown in Grants or somewhere else. So the soil in Bluewater is great for growing things. And Cheryl had a beautiful garden and all of the pretty flowers around. It's been a real wet summer at Bluewater, and they haven't had to irrigate. And It's real pretty and green all over. You just see wildflowers in yellow and lavender and white growing all over the place, and little sunflowers everywhere, and it's quite an enjoyable place to be. It's quite a contrast from the big mesas and cliffs that are hanging all over, and it's the formations in the sandstone and limestone are very interesting. So I always love this country. To drive through it is like better than going to Disneyland.
Before we left Blue Water this morning, we went out in the garden and we picked a couple of 3 dozen ears of corn, and we got some tomatoes, turnips. By the way, this is the first time that Martine ever discovered that you could peel turnips and have a lovely tasting vegetable to eat. And we've got some cucumbers and a lot of other things, and we wondered whether we could get through the inspection stations on our way back to California, because they inspect the fruit and vegetables you've got along and oftentimes make you throw this stuff away. But we are taking a new route going back to California. This time we've decided to go down and visit with Tiny Roberts and his family in Rayma, New Mexico. And so we went the route going by way of ice caves and inscription rock and down and through the seldom traveled area. And from Rayma, New Mexico, we will go over to Sanders, Arizona, which we will completely bypass the inspection stations. So we might get to California with all our vegetables without having to throw any of it away.
Looks like a grape right there.
Kenny wants to know where Inscription Rock is. I don't think we've came to it yet. It's a big national monument. When Carnado, oh yeah, Charles has seen, well, we just passed a skunk that has been run over in the middle of the road, and of course, you can smell the stuff even if you didn't see the skunk, but he's a poor little black and white kitty out in the middle of the road smashed. Over on the side of the road, just a mile or two back, we saw a little cross erected just off the side of the road, and it's got flowers all over it. Apparently somebody found a dog or cat or something that had been killed, and they've taken it and buried it and put a little tiny cross on top of it. But anyway, Inscription, El Moro National Monument, is quite a famous place. The Encarnado of the Spanish explorers and other Spanish explorers, the old travelers came through here way back in the 16, 1700s. Up to the 1800s, they would stop underneath this huge cliff where the snow would be melted away in the wintertime, and the sun shining against the cliff would be very warm. And as they stopped there and let their horses rest, they'd climb up on the cliffs and write their names and addresses and tell something about it. Majority of the writings are in Spanish. Sheep herd out there. We've just passed a Navajo authority village where they have apparently moved in some uniform houses. There's about 10 houses that look just exactly the same. And they've got a windmill there and electricity run in for the power. And the Navis that live in these houses must be considered quite important, because they're nice looking houses. And then all around the road as we go along, we can see some modern day hogans that's built out of slabs and things, not the old log ones that I'm acquainted with 40 years ago, but these are the modern hogans. I haven't seen any new pickups setting out beside the hogans, but we do see, well, an old car or two once in a while. There's a couple of horses, there's a water tank on a trailer. They apparently pull their water in instead of hauling them in the barrels, where they only get to their hogans with maybe 20 gallons of water out of a 50-gallon start out, or when they fill it up be 50 gallons, and then time it all splashed out on the wagon, they then arrive with 20 or 25 gallons. So that's improved quite a bit.